Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
We've been in a teaching series that I've entitled Developing a Passion for God. Developing a Passion for God. Now, this is, to me, one of the most important subjects to study, to build in your spirit, because if you don't keep a passion for God intense and on fire, what will happen is you will give way to the things that happen in life. You'll give way to spiritual apathy, spiritual lethargy. You'll give way to a spirit of slumber, and things will begin to happen to you. You'd be surprised at how some good people who love Jesus wind up experiencing some bad things because their love for Jesus grows cold. Their heart for God grows cold. And they start drifting through life instead of, with intentionality, pursuing God and navigating through life victoriously. And so that's why we're in this teaching series, Developing a Passion for God. One of the things, before we read the scripture, I want to preface it again by saying this. Here I am, over 37 and a half years in ministry, and I'm still excited for the things of God. It's not just because I'm preaching, because I know a lot of preachers who are burnt out. I know a lot of preachers who have quit the ministry. I know a lot of preachers who have settled for going through the motions. That was not their intention when they started out in ministry. What happened was they lost sight of developing a passion for God. But it's not just preachers, it's Christians in general that this has happened to. You know some who are on fire for God, moving for the things of God, was excited for the things of God, and would always pull you and try to encourage you to come along, and all of a sudden you don't see them in front of you anymore because they have drifted to the wayside. Why is that? Because they didn't develop a passion for God. This is not something that you do just to be religious. This is something you do because it's the Christian life. I must develop this passion for God. I love this passage in Philippians 3 because the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, he was already in ministry over 30 some odd years himself. And he talks about his hunger and passion for God. And here he was encouraging the Philippi church and the Christians in Philippi to develop this same hunger and passion like I have been doing with our group. So look at this. Let's start at verse 7 in Philippians chapter 3. Watch this. Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, but what things, starting at verse 7, but what things were gained to me, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. We looked at this already in this teaching series that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is in reference to who Jesus was, what was on Jesus. So when you see the word Christ in your mind, you also have to translate it and say he's talking about the anointed one. And when he's talking about the anointed one, he's talking about the anointing that the anointed that is on the anointed one. So Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this tonight, because tonight I want to show you how we as Christians are to overcome difficulties in our life. How the passion of God strengthens us to overcome difficulties. Now, Paul said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me. In other words, everything he accomplished in his natural life, everything he did, every accomplishment, every award, every acknowledgement, he said he considered all of that loss, watch this, for Christ or for the anointed one and his anointing. Now, one of the things that hinders spiritual hunger is spiritual idolatry. Many Christians have built up idols in their lives that they're not even aware of. So instead of selling out to Jesus with their lives, what they're doing is holding on to what they think will make their life right or successful or what my life should be like because I can do this, I can do that. One of the things that I've learned to do over the years was I had to learn to not count anything above my pursuit of Jesus and my relationship with him. And that had to, this has been a learning process. And I'm still growing at it, still developing it. I'm not perfect, nobody is, but I'm still at that thing. But a lot of things that have tripped up a lot of other Christians. Here I am over 37 and a half years in ministry. It didn't trip me up, not because I'm perfect, but because I maintained a passion for God. A passion for God. I was just sharing with somebody today. I say temptation comes to us all. Wrong desires come to us all. But it's what you do when the wrong desire comes, when the temptation comes, that determines, watch this, how you'll be. And so Paul talked about what he counted loss for Christ. Look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Come on, everybody say all things. All things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, I'm pursuing a revelation of Jesus and I'm not going to be denied. He went on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I'm always fascinated by this passage of scripture because I said he's talking about winning Christ and he's already saved. At this time, Paul is already saved. He's already, born, in other words, born again. He's spirit-filled. He is a tongue-talking, spirit-filled believer, and he says, I'm counting everything lost that I may win Christ. He understands that there is another depth in Christ that he can tap into. All he got to do is get hungry for it. He understands that there is another capacity of the anointing that Jesus was inviting him to access. He just have to want it. And then he says this in verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Come on, everybody say self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, listen, looks out for self. Self-righteousness looks out for self. Self-righteousness says, I'm not being done like I want to be done. Self-righteousness looks out for self. And Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or self-righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him, become intimate with him, to have a connection with him that can't be broken. To become stronger in him, that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Then drop down to verse 12. And Paul says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Come on, everyone say pursue.
Pursue.
I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And this is the phrase that I love to keep before me. He said, reaching forth. I'm reaching forth. I'm not settling. I'm not going to stop. I'm reaching forth. Look what it says. Unto those things which are before. Last verse, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's my question to you tonight as we start. When you look at your life, now this is rhetorical, so nobody don't have to answer out loud. You keep the answer to yourself. Don't tell off on yourself. When you look at your life, what would you honestly say that you are pressing for? What motivates you? What do you press for? What is it that you push for in life? And one of the things that we as Christians have to learn to do, we have to develop a passion for God. There's three words that you always have to remember. It's the word push, the word press, and the word persevere. It's the word push, it's the word press, and it's the word persevere. When I'm going to walk with God and I want to have a close, intimate walk with God, walking with God is not based on a feeling, because you can feel good today and feel bad tomorrow. You can feel good in the morning and feel bad by lunch. You have to learn how to push yourself when you don't want to do it. You have to learn how to press, keep pressing for what God has said, because you know he cannot lie, and you're not going to allow what you think you know to get in the way of the relationship, and you got to persevere. You got to persevere through all of the challenges, afflictions, and hindrances the adversary is going to throw your way, because he's not going to leave you alone. You have to push, you have to press, and you have to persevere. Tonight, I'm going to show you two different Bible characters that did that, so you can learn how to overcome adversity. You have to develop a passion for God. For example, when some Christians look at their prayer lives, the reason why some don't pray as intense as they should is because they say, I tried that prayer stuff, but God didn't answer my prayer. Because they're governing their prayer lives by what they get. They're not governing their prayer lives by developing an intimacy with him. They're just looking for what I get. Because look at my life. God, I need this in my life. And we just read, Paul said, that's called self-righteousness. And he says, no, I want to develop righteousness in him. He made me right. Jesus made me right. And I'm going to sell out to him because I'm right in him. And so this is what you have to learn. All right, watch this. How do I want to do this? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to see what the Spirit of God is going to pull out for tonight. Y'all ready to flow with me tonight? Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this. Here's one Bible character by the name of Moses who learned how to develop a hunger for God. A passion for God. When we're talking about passion, we're talking about hunger. Let me remind you all of my definition of passion before I read the scripture in Hebrews 11. I define passion as this: passion, is an intense, strong desire to do something or have something. It's an overpowering, enthusiastic, internal drive. Everyone say, it's an inside job.
It's an inside job.
It's an overpowering, enthusiastic, internal drive that gives birth to intentionality, fervency, and motivation. Passion. So when a person has passion for God, they don't need nobody to stir them up to come after God. They don't need, they're not even giving in to what circumstances say. This person is moved from the inside to come after God. They don't care what's happening on the outside. And they understand that God loves them specifically for who they are. Listen, passion is an intense, strong desire to do something or have something. It's an overpowering. So when you are a passionate child of God for his presence, there is nothing that you will allow the adversary to do to overpower you and cause you to quit. Because passion is an overpowering, enthusiastic. There's a lot of people been around me for years. And they say, why I haven't seen you sad? I say, I don't have nothing to be sad about. Because God is real. Amen. Come on, y'all. See, years ago, I made up my mind. When I was a teenager, my mother would take us to church. And we were struggling. And my mother would always say, there's going to be a brighter day someday. By the time I got to 16, I said, okay, when is this brighter day going to happen? I said, you've been saying this for years. I said, when? And unfortunately, Danny, the church that we were in, our home church, I saw, as a young teenager, I saw a lot of Christians operate and live in hypocrisy. They were one thing at church, another thing at home. One thing at church, another thing out on the street. So as a teenager, I saw this Augustine, and it left a bitter taste in my mouth. I said, if they're not going to be real, then this thing, Christianity, must not be real. And so by the time I turned 18, I stopped going to church. Then I said, I'm tired of hypocrisy. I want to be around people who's real. So I remember I went to university at 18, playing college basketball, and they brought in this evangelist from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he would come in after our practices and have just a little short, not even a real Bible study, just a short exhortation, and then pray for us. And I just happened one time to sit too long, and God got a hold of me in that locker room. That man prayed. And he just kind of drew to me. Now, to this day, he is an international evangelist. And he just drew to me. And that man wanted to mentor me in the things of God. And so it was during this time God spoke to me. He says, if you're going to look at people and how they follow me, then you need to go ahead and quit. Unless you're going to learn to follow me for yourself. He said, Mark, you have to learn how to be real with me and allow me to become more real to you. And not judge how I am through how other people do. I learned this at 18 and 19. I still had to grow in this now. There's a lot of things I still had to be delivered from. But I was on my way. So the thing that you got to understand is, that when you develop this passion, it's an intense, strong desire. I always say it like this, a desire that when you once you get it, no devil from hell can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. But too many times, now I'm talking to you, too many times you've allowed how other people are, what other people say, what other people do to affect how you pursue. I'll say it again. I ain't scared. Listen. There are times you allow what other people say, what other people do, how other people may treat you, you allow it to affect how you pursue. No, you got to develop a passion. It's an overpowering, come on, say overpowering.
Overpowering.
Watch this, enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic.
I don't need nobody else to excite me. It's, this enthusiasm come from my relationship with God. Now, y'all know this. Many of you know this. Me and Cheryl have been married over 41 years. And if anybody see me and Cheryl together, they know I am enthusiastic about that girl. Listen, when I go to speak at churches and I introduce her, this is how I do it, Judy. I say, this is my wife. And I say, Cheryl is my faith partner, my fun partner, my family partner, my financial partner, and my future partner. We in this thing for the long haul. Well, the reason why is because I'm enthusiastic about the relationship. Watch this. In spite of any flaws, faults, failures, or foul-ups. You are you with me? That's how you got to be with God. You have to break out of a religious routine. Don't allow a religious atmosphere to mold you into a place of just going through the motions at church. No, you develop a passion. If nobody else come with passion for God, you come with passion for God. Amen. All right. Hebrews 11 now. Watch this. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years or of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, y'all know the story of Moses. Pharaoh's daughter found him in the river, in the basket, raised him as her own, but had his mother come to wean him and raise him and everything. It was during that time his mother planted a passion for God in him. Now, here's what I want you to see. You got to hear me. Egypt was the world power at that time. Moses was being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. That means that Moses went from a place of not enough to a realm of more than enough. And still, when he became of age, the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, when you develop a passion for God, don't nobody have to tell you what to refuse. You're going to refuse things that's not in favor of your God. That's what this passion does. Don't nobody have to tell me. I remember in college, I used to drink. I remember one time driving in my car, had the music loud, leaning over to the side, holding a 16-ounce can of Budweiser. Y'all don't have Budweiser in Canada, right? No, you don't. Say you don't. Say you don't. No. Okay. I'm driving. I'm chilling, moving slow. Music loud in the car by myself. All of a sudden, in my peripheral vision, I look to the right and a train is coming. And I'm moving slow across the track. I dropped the can of beer and froze. Closed my eyes, waiting on the impact, because that's how close the train was. The train was as close as the Canadian flag is there and where I'm at. I didn't hit the pedal, the gas pedal. I froze and I closed my eyes. I knew I was gone. When I woke up and heard his horn as he went on by, I looked up. I was, you ready for this? 50 feet away from the train track and don't know how I got there. You know what I did? I picked up that can of beer, threw it out the window. I said, you don't have to worry about it no more, Jesus. I ain't playing this way no more. You see, when you develop a passion of God for God, don't nobody have to tell you what to refuse. You're going to refuse it because you know this does not go with my passion for God. This does not go with it. I was sharing with someone today, and I told them, I said, it doesn't make a difference if you're single or you married. Temptation and wrong desires come to us all. I said, I know a lot of brothers who said, oh, their life would be different once they got married. But once they got married, they cheated on their wife. Did you get married to cheat? No, they didn't know how to refuse. They didn't know how to refuse. They didn't value the relationship more than the wrong desire. So look what he did. He refused. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. How long? For a season. You got to know what to refuse, and you have to know what to choose when you're developing this passion for God. You got to know what to choose. And now people to this day, and that includes other pastors, they know they can't come around Mark and Cheryl Roberson and talk any kind of way. In our church in Buffalo, I don't think I've said it as much here, but I know in Buffalo I've said it. I said, we don't put our mouth on another preacher. You didn't call them. Even if you disagree with them, you keep your mouth closed. That's between them and God. You have no right to talk about them. You have no right to criticize them. You have no right to judge them. So other preachers don't come around me talking about that. That's my standard. See, you got to know what to choose if you're developing a passion for God. He knew what to, say it with me, refuse. And he knew what to choose. And so I don't even have to be around Cheryl to tell her to choose the right company of people to be around. She's not going to put herself around people who's going to pull her down and pull her down from the place that we've chosen to walk in God. She doesn't have to worry about that when Mark leaves the house, I don't know where he's going. No, she don't have to worry, but she knows that Mark is going to choose to put himself around the right people. I remember, I don't do this as much now, but in early years, I used to tell visitors when they would come to the church in Buffalo, I said, listen, I want to be your pastor, and I want you to know that with me, I said, your wife is safe, your daughter is safe, your son is safe, and I said, because of how some preachers are today, your husband is even safe. I said, you don't have to worry about it because I'm going to be your spiritual leader and you follow me as I follow Christ. Well, what am I telling? Because I told my congregation years ago, I said, so here we are 27 years pastor. And I said, you have not heard one rumor about Pastor Martin. You haven't heard one scandal about Pastor Martin. You haven't heard one accusation. I said, because I know what to refuse and I know what to choose. That's how you develop a passion for God. Are y'all listening to me? All right. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 26. Then it says, now let me just add this. Because if you don't know what to choose, you're going to slip and you're going to and take a stab at enjoying the pleasures of sin and think it's all right. And you're going to think nobody's going to find out. But it's true what they've always said. Whatever you do in the dark, it does come out in the light. The adversary don't play fair. He want to expose you. The adversary don't play fair. He wants to expose you. He does not want you to get away with it. And it's amazing to me at how many Christians think that they are smarter than the devil. So they toy with some things he tempt them to do, and they think, oh, it's going to be all right. No, it's not. No, it is not. You have to develop a passion for God. Look at this. Look at the next verse, verse 26. So verse 24 says Moses refused. Verse 25 says Moses chose. And then verse 26 says esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's what keeps me hungry for God. I esteem my relationship with God is more precious and more valuable than anything else. My relationship with God is more precious and more valuable than anything else. I esteem. What does the word esteem mean? To attach worth to attach value to. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. We talked about this from Philippians 3. So Christ is not Jesus' last name. Look what it says. Let's translate and meditate. Esteeming the reproach of the anointed one and his anointing, watch this, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses saw a relationship with God more than any clout that he would have in Egypt. And it was the world power at the time. This man could have had anything at his beck and call. All he had to do was play along and just be Pharaoh's son. He said, no. No. And so I'm telling you today that you're going to have to, if you're going to develop this passion for God, I believe I'm talking to people who don't want to just go through the motions, who don't just want to be religious. There's a lot of people out there who choose that. I believe I'm speaking to some people who want to experience another level of the realness of God in their lives. Would y'all agree with that? Yes. They want to know God in a more real way. Not just be religious. Not just be churchy or church wise. Know all the nice things to do at church. Know how to flow in ministry. Know how to do that. No. I want to have a passion for Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. What it would cost him for Christ. What it would cost him. And I have a purpose to pursue God regardless of what it costs me. See, some told me before, they said, Mark, you know the type of ministry you have, man. If you came back to Texas, you know, Texas is in the Bible Belt, Mark. If you came back to Texas, you know those folk will flock to come hear you teach the word like you do. I said, but my assignment is in Buffalo and in St. Catherine. But Mark, you don't have to settle for that. And I would tell them, I'm not settling. I've esteemed it more valuable than looking for a platform for Mark. You follow me? It's not about what I can get out of it. It's how I'm choosing to obey him. Let me ask you this. In your life today, what is God looking for from you that you have, it's been a challenge for you to give him? What has God been looking for from you? Is it another level of obedience? Is it another level of discipline that he's calling you to? Is it another level of consecration that he wants you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? Is it another measure of, and another level of dedication? He wants you to dedicate yourself at a level you've never done before. What is it that God wants from you in this season of your life that you find it a challenge to do. Now, if you say, well, Pastor Mark, in my life, God is pleased with everything. He's okay. Then something's wrong with that. Because that means you're not growing. Because remember what we read in Philippians 3. Paul said, I'm reaching forth. I'm reaching forth. What are you reaching for? What is it that he wants from you? What is it that God has asked of you that you haven't yet complied to? When we started Faith Word Fellowship, I was getting ready to, we had been in Buffalo 3 years and I'd had enough. I was tired of the weather. The weather was cold. The people were cold. The churches were cold. Everything was cold. I was ready to go home to Texas. And so I'll never forget, I pulled into this gas station to get some gas and I just turned the car off. I hadn't even grabbed the doorknob and the presence of God filled the car. And he asked me. He just asked me three times the same question. He says, will you do it for me, son? And it was like I had this awareness and knowing that he was talking about start a church. And he didn't even mention church, but I just knew it. And after that first question, I said, oh, no, I'm going back home to Texas. I had enough of this. And he asked me again, will you do it for me, son? Now his presence is thick in the car. Everybody else is getting gas and looking at me, sit there. And now I start sobbing. His presence breaks me and I'm crying. Then he says it a third time. Will you do it for me, son? And I broke. I hit the steering wheel as hard as I could. I said, all right. Then I said, if nobody comes, it's your fault. But I said that to say this to you. What is God asking of you that you have not delivered yet? You haven't come through yet. And you know it. You know it. See, like, I knew he was asking me about starting a church. And he didn't even need to mention the word church. I just had this knowing. And all he did was says, will you do it for me, son? It could be that God wants you to reconcile a relationship that has gone wrong. And you're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? I didn't do nothing to it. He didn't ask you that. He just wanted to ask, will you do it for me, daughter? Will you do it for me, son? Just like he told Moses, will you stand in Egypt for me? Developing a passion for God. You may have saw something wrong and it's been disturbing you. And God may have been warning you to go to that individual in love to help steer them correctly. Not prove that they're wrong. Help love them out of their wrong. Instead of you saying, oh, that ain't none of my business. Oh, we are our brother's keeper. Will you do it for me, son? Will you do it for me, daughter? You got to push. So can you see Moses pushing through all of this? He pushed, he pressed, and he persevered. I say this to you now by the Spirit of God. He's been moving on you to get to the place where you stop making life about you. How you feel about it, how you see it, what you want. And if you'll just embrace him. I remember this one preacher telling me when I told him that I was moving to Buffalo, he said, man, I wouldn't go to Buffalo. He said, Mark, it's too dreary there. He said, the sky, you don't even see a blue sky like you do in Texas. He said, I wouldn't go there. Mark, don't go there. A preacher said that to me. And here I am just looking to obey God. Who have you been allowing to talk you out of? that next level of obedience that God is calling you for. The other thing I had to learn was I had a lot of friends in the church that Cheryl and I got married in, but they weren't pursuing God like God was calling me to. They settled. They were satisfied with going to church on Sunday and living like they wanted to from Monday through Saturday. And God was calling me to another level of obedience. And so I had to get to the place. I said, Cheryl, we did everything together. Sometimes we would spend the night over each other's house. We would play cards and watch a movie together and do different things. And back in Texas, you know, we'd go to Six Flags. And God would say, I can't go around them no more because they're not hungry for God. What is God asking of you? That the adversary wants you to compromise your hunger for. And look at the last verse, verse 27. I said two Bible characters, but it looked like all I can get to was one tonight. Look at this last verse. We'll end right here. Did y'all get something tonight? Look at this. Look at verse 27. I want you to see that. Look at verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. What? By faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, or we can say persevered, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He developed a passion for God, but he did it by faith. By faith. I came to Buffalo by faith. God said, will you do it for me, son? I started Faith Word Fellowship by faith. I came to St. Catherine's by faith. By faith, you do this. But not on a feeling, because a lot of times when it's time for me to teach or preach, sometimes I don't feel like doing it. I do it by faith, not by feeling. And I want to submit to you tonight, you're going to have to grow to the place where you stop doing things just by how you feel and do it by faith to him. Amen. By faith. You know, I mentioned that testimony about the can of Budweiser. Somebody could put a can of Budweiser right there. It has no effect on me. I don't have no craving for it. Why? By faith, I forsook that. It no longer is a desire. By faith. Another woman can come up and say, Pastor Mark, you're handsome, da-da-da. By faith, I forsook that path. So now my wife can have confidence. Her husband never strays. The church members can have confidence. Their pastor never strays. By faith, I forsook that. That's not a temptation because I have a passion for him. And that's what you got to understand. And for some of you all here, under the sound of my voice, you've been struggling in your life because things haven't happened like you would have desired and you have wanted. God already knew that, but that still didn't stop him from inviting you to a new level of discipline and obedience. By faith. I can tell you stories about the people who did me wrong. And I had to learn how to love them. You ready? And be ready to minister to them and not hold anything against them. By faith. So the challenge tonight for you is this. Are you going to allow God to pull you to this place where you stop giving in to the feelings and you start giving in to the spirit of faith? You stop giving in to the feelings. You give in to the spirit of faith. To the spirit of faith. Every eye closed for a moment. Just take a moment. Let's just meditate on what we heard. Every eye closed. Even while you're sitting there, I want you to pray this. Say, Lord, Help me to pursue you. In Jesus' name. Help me to pursue you. Not what I want, not what I think, but to pursue you. Now say this, say, Lord, help me to move past my feelings about my life and help me to connect to your faith for my life. That's it. Now you got to pray, do something in me, Lord. Do something in me. Do something in me, Lord. That's what you got to pray, dear hearts. Do something in me, Lord. Do something in me. I do want to be different. Yeah, I do want to be hungry for you. In the name of Jesus. That's how you have to pray, dear hearts. Father, I have given them what I believe you wanted me to share tonight. And now, Lord, I pray for each individual here under the sound of my voice and those who will hear this message later. Daddy, I'm asking you for an encounter. Give them an encounter that'll bring them out of religiosity. Give them an encounter that will bring them out of a religious routine. Give them an encounter that will bring them out of this place where they're stuck in life because of the feelings about their life that they have been catering to. Lord, give them an encounter in the name of Jesus. Cause a turnaround to take place in the lives and in the hearts of these, your children, in the name of Jesus. Show them that you want to show them another level of your realness in Jesus' name. Become more real to them, Lord, than ever before. Lord, we want to know you in a very real way in Jesus' name. There's some, you know them, Lord, who are struggling with various things. Some they don't want people to know about, but you know about it, Lord. Father, use this passage from Hebrews 11 about the life of Moses to mark their hearts and their minds tonight. Don't let this session tonight just become another Bible service that they went to, went home, and no connection was made. Don't let it be like that, Lord. Tonight, show us how to develop more of a passion for you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, say this. Say, I want to become more passionate for you. Come on, say it again. I want to become more passionate for you. Yeah, well, one more time. Come on, say it. I want to become more passionate for you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Now, just come on, lift your hands up and just lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven and just tell them, say, Lord, I receive you doing something new in my life. That's it. Now, just take a moment and worship him. Just worship him right where you are. Just worship him in your own way. That's it. Just worship him.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.